Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I am fantabulous. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. You're fantabulous too. It's a cross between fantastic and fabulous.
I'm here for it. Good. I'm here for it. I'm open to receiving.
And I'm open to giving.
There you go. And it's vice versa.
Amen.
Well, welcome to This Black Girl Podcast with one part of your host, Miss Ola, Miss Lola.
And the other part of your host, the lovely Miss Hildiva.
So we're just going to jump into some topics because the last time you really kind of heard from us together over your earbuds was about the royalty, and I know we went off a little too long about that. We're triggered.
Yeah, we had to chill out. We had to take, like, we just been cooling down this whole time. Like, we had to just come off of that and simmer right down.
Right? But you already know we had to come to you with more tea. So what topic did you want to talk about first? I'm gonna give the floor to you.
Okay, you know what, I am so triggered by this, so I want to talk about Quavo and Saweetie's Kabapo, Elevator Kabapo. It's like Beyonce, Jay-Z part two
all over
not
again.
Even,
yeah,
like Jay-Z and Solange part two, more like oh my gosh. And it wasn't cute.
Very much. So as a preliminary, I guess, like, background. So Saweetie is a recording artist. She's a rapper. She also does occasional modeling. Quavo is a member of the group Migos, which is also a rap group. Right now they've been doing, like, separate, their own, like, music and stuff. But I hope they come back because I liked Versace. It was lit. Anyways, Quavo and Saweetie have been together for a few years. They've always been idolized as, like, that it couple, oh, black love, goals, and stuff like that. Recently, it came to light that they've separated, that they're broken up. And even more recently, a video, quote-unquote, leaked about them having an altercation in an elevator. Now, did you actually see the actual video?
I did see it. And, so I can't really compare it to Jay-Z and Solange because Solange, you know, she handled that ass, you know, at least those shins or whatever she did. But yeah, so basically in the video, what you see is it's Quavo standing in an elevator like he just came in. And then as Saweetie's coming in the elevator, it's like he's dragging her and then separates her from her bag. So I guess... And like, she gets thrown onto the ground of the elevator, and it just doesn't look good. He, like, takes a bag from her, so it looked kind of like he was purposely separating her from something she needed to kind of control her, to make sure, okay, she's gonna sit here with me in this elevator, we're gonna deal with this, or maybe there was something in that bag that he didn't want her to see. I don't know.
Now, the bag has been identified as a Call of Duty case. So, video games. Girl,
you're not playing.
I wish I was.
Are you kidding me?
I was.
Call of Duty case?
Yeah. So I don't know if the if the actual video game console was in there or not. I don't know if she was taking it away so that he wouldn't leave, because the impression people are assuming this altercation happened, like, in this apartment building was her apartment building. So it is assumed that he was leaving her apartment and she was fighting him to not leave. And so that's why there was, like, the tussle with the bags and stuff. But what a lot of people are agreeing on is, like, the level of harm he caused to her was excessive. So, like, he threw her into the wall in the elevator. I don't know about y'all, but most elevators have, like, that metal lip that wraps around. That shit hurts. So, like, and she was on the floor. It looked like she was crying. You know, the whole time that it was happening, like, he was just, like, standing there, like, okay.
Next.
Like there was no concern. And so a lot of people, both male and female, are like, WTF, you know?
Damn.
And, like, prior to this coming out, she made a statement on Twitter being like, you know, I've endured a lot of pain. There's no gifts that can make up for intimacy shared with other women. So we don't know if this man was cheating on her, but, like, I'm always triggered when I see physical abuse.
Yeah.
Like, that's unacceptable to me. And especially over a video game. I hope it was, like, diamond necklaces and shit underneath there that he was fighting. Yeah, not an actual video game console, because, like, I'm sorry, like, no disrespect, but, like, Quavo's rich. Like, if he's buying her Birkin bags and stuff like that, there's no way that you should be throwing a woman over a video game console.
That, exactly. And I feel like it was more an issue of, because, like, now that you gave it that context,
yeah,
maybe he's more just like, yo, get away from me, leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm out of here, get the heck away. Like, and to just, it's just so disrespectful. And, like, I've had altercations with men in my past, like, you know, a man I was with for a long time. Mm-hmm. And to just be, like, you can feel when your relationship crosses that line into a man just not even caring
about your well-being.
About your well-being, exactly. Like, when frustrations get so high to where both of you are just, like, you're so frustrated, you're just at your wit's end, and you're just like, F it, I don't even care anymore about mm-hmm. human decency, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like I saw in that video. Like, he didn't give a rat, you know?
Right.
And one quick thing I was gonna say too is that it's also reminiscent, like, of a lot of celebrities who've had altercations in elevators. Mm-hmm. You know, there was NBA YoungBoy and the 17-year-old girlfriend that was caught on camera. I think that was in an elevator too, right?
Mm-hmm. Where,
and there was that Rick guy, somebody and his wife, where she got, like, slammed, like, her face. I remember some woman got, like, punched or something. Her face slammed off of the side of that bar. You saw her ricochet down. There's Beyonce and, you know, Solange and Jay-Z. I wish I could remember who that was, though.
There's a lot. There's a little too many for comfort in terms of, like, that type of, and that level of violence is never okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I will at the same time, because a lot of people are like, oh, you can't always instantly defend Sweetie when she was the one allegedly initiating the level of violence. So, like, she was the one throwing punches and stuff. And I agree. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be violence aimed at either person, at men or at women, whatever. Like, girl, if he's leaving, let him leave. Like, you icy girl.
Yeah,
you looking for 8-figure niggas. You know, like,
straight up,
you know, so
up.
It's like, I understand when you care about somebody, though, that you, like, you sometimes put your pride aside and you do things that you normally wouldn't do
mm-hmm.
in order to maintain things. But now it's like, it's definitely, you can see it's definitely crossed the line in terms of went with them, especially with that video, because that video is apparently from, like, months and months ago. Because she's moved from that location since.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that this was an old video that's now coming out.
Right.
So,
you know, somebody was making some good coin shopping that one around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, TMZ. Yeah. Especially now TMZ has it. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they got a really good, you know.
They took their time.
So, it's sad that it has to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't know. I wish her the best. I wish him the best. When they announced on Twitter that, like, they weren't together, it was heavily implied that he cheated on her. He was saying, like, well, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And she was just like, yo, peace, like, take care. Like it was semi amicable. Like, obviously there's little seeds planted in for the public,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, it was amicable.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope that they both move on from this. That they're both good, you know?
Sorry, I have to interrupt and say something right now.
Yeah.
My girl just read my mind. Like, literally, you just did a friggin' Professor X mind reading. I'm looking around. I hope this girl has lotion.
Oh, we have lotion
and
everywhere.
Immediately, as if she just heard my brain, Lola just passed a damn container of lotion and just squeezed it on my hand and answered my inner yearning call. My soul was screaming for it. I don't know how you knew. I'm sorry.
I was looking at my own hands. Oh, I'm like, my hands are pretty ashy. I looked over at your hands. I'm like, oh, you're going through it too?
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me just rectify both of us right now.
It was irritating me too. I'm like, god damn, my hands so damn ashy. I'm looking around.
Yo,
like,
that winter though.
She saw
winter
the panic
season.
In my eyes. Okay, but back to our story. Oh my god, no, but that's love. That's friendship love. Like, when you
of
can
course.
Read your bestie's mind, I can't. Okay.
Oh my gosh. But like I said, I hope, I wish them the best. I really hope this was a one-off and not a regular occurrence of them, like, physically fighting. Like, they're both great people on, you know, from what we see, because we obviously don't know them, but like, they're both like decent figures. I respect them both. I admire them both. And it's like, you know, you want good things for both black women, black men, that people aren't forced or feel like they're forced to take a side.
Exactly. You know? And like, you know, hats off to them for being able to at least try to amicably end it and not, you know, drag each other down to the max, you know, through the mud and drag each other for filth. So
yeah,
that's nice too. And especially with like when domestic violence is involved, a lot of people, I will say, tend to blame the woman, like, oh, well, why does she stay? You know, why is she with him? You know, if it's so bad, why, you know? So I just wanted to put it out there that when you're dealing with domestic violence, a lot of women stay because they feel like they don't have any other option. And number one reason is shame. You don't want to admit to people that you're a victim of something. There is this stigma attached to being the woman or the victim of domestic violence. You feel like, okay, that's telling the world that I was worthless to him and that he was looking at me like I was a piece of garbage. You know what I mean? So you automatically feel like you're labeling yourself as a piece of garbage because of what's happened to you. And you don't realize that, no, it's him. He's the perpetrator, he's the garbage, and you're protecting yourself, right? But and then women love the guy too, right? So you want to keep seeing the bright side of it.
Yeah, the better sides of certain situations.
Correct. Like, you're always trying to give him the benefit of the doubt because you remember the honeymoon stage. You remember how long it was so wonderful and great. And I will say one more thing. Yes, I'm going off, y'all.
Yeah.
But as like a woman who has dealt with this before, when you are dealing with a man who, you know, an intimate partner, intimate partner violence in general, you know, when something bad happens, let's say you have a bad argument or whatever, you know, you're so hurt. Like, you feel like crap. And all you want is for someone to come and hold you and say, I love you, and make it all better. And, you know, a random guy on the street is not gonna do that. Your mom is not gonna know to do that. The only person who's ready and willing to do that is your abuser or the man that's done this to you, because he's the only guy that knows, oh no, I just, you know, I just treated her like shit just now. So, you know what I mean? So you want that, and then you're not gonna say no to someone finally licking those wounds for you. You wanna feel love again, you know? You wanna feel better. You don't wanna feel like that. So you accept it. You accept the consolation, even though you know, okay, this might, how long is this gonna last, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so just try to give people a perspective on what domestic violence and intimate partner violence or any type of control, you know, victims experience. That is the mindset. And that's why I hate hearing people saying, oh, why'd she stay? Because it's not her issue. It's not her. She's not deciding this, you know? Yeah. All she's trying to do is see the best in someone. You know, over and over and over, right?
But a lot of people, not a lot of people, but people do feel sometimes trapped in a situation where they're either be like, oh, if I go on my own, how can I still afford certain things? Or what if there's kids involved? Do I want to have my kids in a broken home? And it's like, you have to sometimes think of the bigger picture of like, if I continue perpetuating the cycle, if I keep rewarding this person by saying like this poor treatment, like you'll still be able to come back to me even if you give me this poor treatment, it kind of like tells them like what they're doing is okay because you accept it and go back to it,
right? And that's the thing, it definitely does. Like, the longer you stay in the cycle, the statistics show the worse it's gonna get.
Yeah,
you know, and it's an unfortunate situation on all sides, you know. But like, I just feel like that's when you know, your family members, people that see, people on the outside, you know, can help you. And it's sad that not every situation ends nicely like that, but the main takeaway is, if you see something, say something.
Right.
Because if they think nobody knows and nobody cares, then they will stay on top of that, you know?
True.
Sometimes just hearing that, you know what, girl, I noticed that, you know, he was talking too rough just now, you know? Like, you don't have to say anything, but just know that I'm here if you ever need anything, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You don't have to get in the business, but you could just at least extend a little olive branch that if they ever need to, just say, I'm not judging, I just love you, and I just want the best for you, and I'm always here if you ever need to, you know, leave, or you need money, or you need something, safety, I am here, you know? No judgment.
And, like, a lot of people don't know who to go to, where to go to, and like we sometimes have this mindset of like when you're saying to people, when you see something, say something. A lot of people turn a blind eye when they see certain situations because they can't bother being involved or they don't mm-hmm. want to be involved. Like when I was younger, I went to a concert. It was an all ages concert. That's how you know I was young. but I saw girls who were younger than me, young teens, behind me and my friend. We were like, you know, enjoying the concert, whatever. And we saw these other two girls that were partying, but they were with this really tall old man. And he kind of stood out because they were so different in age. Mm-hmm. To the point that we thought this man was like one of their fathers. So we're like, oh, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then like this guy was putting her on his shoulders. He was drinking from a flask and like waving mm-hmm. around. And so I got concerned at first for her physical safety because I'm like, this guy's obviously drunk having her. And so I said to them, I'm like, do you guys know him? And they're like, oh, no, we don't know him. So I'm like, I was immediately like concerned because I was like, you're laying us sitting on a stranger's shoulders who's drunk like that, like you're dumb, like why are you doing this? And so I saw it, I booked it, but I wasn't like, you know, I didn't know them, so I wasn't too married to the situation, but I kind of kept a small eye out for it because they're right next to us. So we're still enjoying the concert, whatever. Towards the end of the concert, now this guy's trying to creep up on them, like grabbing them, trying to grab them inappropriately, trying to press this one girl for a kiss. Mm-hmm. And you could tell she was very uncomfortable and did not know what to do in the situation because mm-hmm. like you could tell they were very young and he was very old. Mm-mm. And he was very forceful because he was huge. He was like super tall, like 6'6", mm-mm. broad shoulder, like this big old man. So like at first I said to them, like I said to him, I was like, look, like leave her alone, you know? So at first he let it go and he disappeared. So then I went back to doing me. Mm-hmm. He came back again. I was trying to grab her again.
Wow.
And her friend who was there wasn't even saying nothing. And the friend who this was happening to, this assault, she was just like, you could tell she just didn't know how to react, what mm-hmm. to do. So I said to him, I'm like, look, I know you were hoping for something, but that's obviously not gonna happen. Like, you need to leave her alone. You've been drinking, sir. Like, you need to go home. Mm-hmm. And by that time, they disappeared. They were ghosts, gone, okay?
Good.
So I guess he realized they were gone by then. He got pissed at me. Mm-hmm. He turned to me and he's like, fuck you. And I'm like, okay. Okay. And then like, and at this point you could tell he was getting agitated. People around me were watching, not saying anything, mm-hmm. but they were watching. And I was like, okay. And he was like, he got in my face and he like flipped me the bird in my face. And he's like, fuck you, nigger.
Mm-mm.
And there was like a swastika on his finger.
What?
And then that's when I really looked at him and I realized this man's a skinhead. Like, this man's a skinhead telling me this in my face.
Wow.
Okay,
you went toe to toe with the damn skinhead.
Wow. Yeah, like really
over and over without knowing it.
Right. And I looked him down and up or whatever, and I saw the finger in my face because this man's doing it like this.
Mm-mm,
like, fuck you, nigger. Like and keeping the finger in my head.
Wow.
And once he dropped the N-word, everyone was like, and turned like,
wow.
Was looking at the situation. And I was just looking at him and I was trying to stay calm. And I was just like, because I looked to see how far the police were, because police mm-hmm. would always come to outdoor, like large outdoor events. Mm-hmm. The police was at least, I want to say at least 200 feet away.
Oh, gosh.
So they weren't close enough that something were to happen that they could help immediately.
Right.
So I just kind of looked and I just looked at him and I'm like, that's a nice finger you got there, but it's not going to change the situation. So I think you should really go home. You should have a good day.
Good.
And then like he realized how stupid he looked, I guess, and he realized the crowd was watching him. So he walked off. I was just like, like in my head I was like, oh thank God, like my mama didn't lose her child today. Like,
praise God, right?
Right? Oh, and then my other friend was like, oh my God, that was amazing. And I was like, girl, that was just being blessed. Like,
right.
I was just like, let's go. Like,
yeah.
At that point I was dying.
And that's crazy. And like one thing you said there too, the fact that the young girl didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
It just says so much about consent as
well.
Oh,
yeah, of course.
Because just because a girl doesn't say no doesn't mean that she's not saying no. She's not showing you. She's not refusing you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't always have to say no. Some women laugh while they're saying no. That right. still means no.
Right.
No.
Yeah, no, no, no.
That
yeah.
means no, because some people, like, and I've done that where I feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah, you don't know how to react.
That, like, guys have to understand that women are constantly taught their whole life to be nice, be friendly, be sweet, don't be rude, don't have attitude, don't da-da. So when it's time to actually stand up for yourself and say, no, F you, don't touch me, I yeah. don't like this. A lot of girls are not equipped to do that. But all they remember is be nice, be sweet.
So because here's the thing is, when we're nice... Men, and I don't want to say this as a generalization because I know not all men. I want to put that disclaimer out.
Yeah.
But men, sometimes, like, if you're nice and you're like, oh, I'm not interested, but thanks, whatever, they'll still pursue you. If you're saying outright, oh, no, I'm not interested, I don't want to be with you, they'll still pursue you. Or they'll disparage you and be like, oh, well, you're a fucking bitch anyways. Or you're a fucking whore anyways. Oh, I don't want to be with your fat ass anyways. And it's like, dude, like, I'm sorry, like, nobody... I'm sorry, like, I'm not interested. Just because you're interested in me, it doesn't mean that it's mutual.
Right.
And a lot of women are either disparaged or physically attacked by this lack, like, you know, this lack of response or this lack of, quote-unquote, appreciation. I'm going to use the word appreciation even though it's not. Because, like you said, like, a lot of people are uncomfortable because they don't know what to do in this situation.
Right.
You know, like... Like, yeah, I'm flattered, but I'm sorry. Or what? I'm not interested.
Right.
Half the time, most guys will respect the fact that you have a boyfriend, then respect the fact that you're not interested.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you tell them, oh, I'm not interested, be like, oh, just give me a chance. What about it? Come on, just let me just take you out. Da, 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 da. But if you say, oh, I'm sorry, I already have a boyfriend, I'm like, no thanks, it's more of like, I guess in their heads, I am interested, but I'm already spoken
for. Correct.
And they're like, oh, okay, I respect that. But if you're single and you're not interested, why?
Exactly.
How come you don't want me? Why?
Yeah, it's automatically taken personally.
Yes.
And the emphasis I was trying to make is more like, just be mindful that... It's not a personal issue. It's not. Yeah. A lot of times, it's everything that someone else does has to do with them and not you. You have to realize that.
Facts.
And you have to navigate the world knowing that. So if she's laughing saying no, she's saying no. Just understand that what she's really saying is no. And like, I did hear of a comedian making a joke about that, Bill Burr, and he's like, you know, in this great day and age, women, you know, women are always given the right, they're all about women's rights and this and that, and you know, so you'll tell a woman, you know, hey, you'll get slammed with charges because, you know, you'll be with her and she'll be like, no, I don't want to. But in court, when some guy's reading it, he's like, no, I don't want to. And he's like, I didn't say it. She didn't say it like that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter how she said it. She said no. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the part that they have to listen to because, yeah, the tone may seem somewhat inviting, but like... I always say this to guys who are confused about, like, oh, how come this girl doesn't want to talk to me anymore or doesn't want to do or what? Like, I always remind guys, like, don't settle for being settled for.
Facts.
You should want somebody to want you.
Exactly.
You know, like, they're like, yes,
so true.
It may be an ego boost to, like, turn or convince somebody. Maybe in business, if you can turn $50 to $500, that's something to be proud of. But to convince, like, a person who doesn't want you to want you...
Exactly.
That, like, that to me, like, it just makes no sense because, like, that person's gonna be with you for all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Guys will press and convince certain girls and then complain, oh, this girl just used me. Oh, girls are just users. They just want me for dates. They just do this for this. Are you actually talking to a woman who's genuinely interested in you, or are you talking to a girl who you've begged 6 or 7 times to go out with you and she's like, fine,
exactly,
I'll go out with you now.
Girl, preach.
No, girl, do you know how many conversations I have with girlfriends who are like, oh my gosh, this guy's bugging me. Like, you know what? I'm just going to go for the fucking free food. I'm just gonna go just so that I you can pay for this. Oh, I can go, like,
yeah, it's so true.
So many times. Yep. So many, like, I've literally had guys beg me on dates and be like, oh, I'll take you shopping. How much do you want to spend? And I'm like, at this point, I already know I'm not really interested in him, so I'll give him a high-ass number to turn him off. I'll be like, oh, I'm not going out with you unless I'm spending $700 or $750 or more. And he's like, all right, bet. And I'm like, huh? Fuck, I'll go for the free clothes if it's $750. Like, but that doesn't mean I'm interested in you. And it's like, it makes me sad because it's like that time you're spending. Mm-hmm. On a person who's not genuinely about you, you could be spending that time towards being somebody who is.
Exactly. Having that quality relationship.
Yeah, having that quality. Like, mm-hmm. like, because, you know, guys have feelings too. And a lot of people sometimes forget that. Like, mm-hmm. like men have feelings too. Men have emotions. Men, like, anybody in general, whether you're a man, woman, trans, cis, who like, gay, straight, doesn't matter. You want to be desired. Mm-hmm. Unless you, like, maybe you're asexual and you don't care for that, like, romantic feeling or whatnot. But, like, most people in any type of relationship wants to feel desired.
Exactly.
And I just feel like, yes, maybe it might be an ego boost if you're desired by somebody who's perceived as desirable by many, and then they're with you. Mm-hmm. That might be an ego boost to some people, but how much of an ego boost is it really if she don't really want you?
Exactly.
And she just is with you for a month or two, melts you for what you're worth, and then goes on to the next nigga and gets married. Gets married, start Mary. Popping out babies. Oh. No, I've seen that so many times.
So funny.
Oh my gosh.
But when you, speaking of that convincing and getting someone, you know, mm-hmm. to convince and, you know, these disguises, that brings us also to Derek Jackson. Which is our next topic, girl.
That man is trifling. That man is terrifying. And, like, I feel so sorry for his wife, because his mm-hmm. wife is, like, brainwashed to another level.
Okay, so let's give our viewers, like, a background of Derek Jackson and, like, yeah, who so, he is. Yeah.
So Derek Jackson, I don't want to call him an influencer. He's kind of like a life coach-ish sort of person. He's also a YouTuber. He grew his following by, you know, sending advice videos to men and women. He has $1.3 million followers on Instagram, so he's very popular. And he likes to preach stuff about self-love. He likes to say, like, he'll give you advice videos. 6 reasons why she's not texting you back. Or if you want that quality guy, this is what you need to look for. Like, genuine and good advice for building relationships. And so people kind of put him on a platform. Like, this is what we want men to be. Mm-hmm. The concept of black men don't cheat came from him. Mm-hmm. That whole vibe. He's been popularized even more so now because he's been shown to be a fraud and or hypocrite, because on the gossip YouTube page Tasha K, mm-hmm. it came out that he has not one but multiple mistresses. Mm-mm. And that one of these mistresses is pregnant. Mm-mm. Or was pregnant, and then she had an abortion because of the situation. Mm-mm. But people were shocked because it's like, some people didn't even realize this man was married and had a whole wife, because wow. he never posted her, all of that kind of stuff. So mixed up. At first, he said, oh, my relations with these people happened, or this woman, one woman at first, mm-hmm. happened while him and his wife were separated. Quote unquote, okay. separated. And then it came out afterwards. First, it came out that he had one mistress. Then he's like, oh, me and this person were seeing each other, spending time during the time me and my wife were separated. I lost God. I lost faith. And this is why I was doing what I was doing. Then it came out, oh, by the way, you have multiple mistresses.
Oh, so he tried to go with the one mistress.
Yes. And then the narrative changed to, oh, I wasn't treating my wife well, blah, 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 blah. And then it came out that one of the mistresses were pregnant. And then he did this weird video with the wife, who's nobody's really seen until now. and like he's looking somewhat normal and camera ready. This woman is in like baggy shirt, a bonnet or a hat on her head, sweep to the side, looking so plain Jane. Mm-hmm. And she's holding her hand, his hand, or he's holding her hand side by side, and like trying to convince themselves, I don't know, but like convince the situation that like, oh, she was involved, she knew what was going on, you know, I didn't treat my wife as well, blah blah blah, but we're working on a relationship, we're stronger than ever, we're closer to God, blah, like just trying to convince us that like he did this, but it's all weird. And then people were, I felt bad because people were ragging on the wife because of how, like, I don't want to say disheveled, but like how different she looked compared to him in the video. I'll try and show you what they looked like. So there was that, and then it was weird. What got people like, wait, hold up, what the fuck, is like the fact that people were making fun of her in the comments. Why was he making fun of her in the comments too?
No.
Yeah, like it was. Oh, you him? See? Yes. Okay, you see. And in like you see how it looks so different. Like he looks somewhat polished and together, and she just looks like, you know.
It looks like he had been thinking about that all night. Woke up in the morning and then just grabbed her out of bed and brought her down. Like, girl,
straight.
We gotta save our bag, honey. You know.
Pretty much. And then like, and then after this came out, one of the mistresses. Or I don't know if Tasha K is just systematically releasing all of this tea afterwards. But like after that, it came out was that like, oh, my house looks like this. Because this woman was a well-to-do. She was a doctor, whatever, one of these mistresses, okay? She's like, oh, the background of a few of his videos with those white columns, that was my house. So then that's how people knew this man's recording videos to say, oh, do you, what, if you cheat on your partner, you're no good, you're no this. In his own. As he's outside of these side chicks' houses.
Wow.
I'm like, you're sick. And then he came out with a reaction video to his own video with the wife.
Stop.
Talking about, oh, yeah, she looks uncomfortable there. Oh, like, and I'm thinking, like, you're sick. It's weird. Yes, right? So that's when people are like, yo, you're like, this man's straight up not right. He's a narcissist. And then the wife now has been putting out videos talking about, you see a bonnet, I see the crown of Christ, and you see a baggy shirt, and this is my cloak of protection against, because this is a war, and blah blah. And I'm thinking about, like going off, like Bible thumping to the gods, to the point that I was cringing and I was uncomfortable, and I was just like, a lot of people are like, yo, what magic does he have, you like, how big is his dick for you to be so blind and so
his
dumb?
His bag.
Yeah, maybe his bag. Like, how heavy is your bag?
It is.
You know? And, like, she would make comments in her Instagram page, apparently, like, disparaging dark-skinned black women, saying how she disliked them because they reminded her of all the different mistresses he had and that they were all dark-skinned. She started resenting her children.
What?
Because, as you can see, he's a dark-skinned black man, so I'm sure when they had children, the children came out darker than her. Right. She started resenting them too, and I'm like, you're not okay. Like, you need therapy or something.
How did it come out that she resented her kids? Like, that's crazy.
She talked about it on her Instagram post.
Okay.
She was talking about it on her Instagram post. She was saying how, like, when she found out about one of the girls, she was studying, like, how she dressed, how she act, how she was getting turned on. Like, really, really uncomfortable stuff. You know, like, and that's how you know, like, there's definitely low self-esteem.
Yes.
She thought less of herself, and she thought, like, to be more desirable to her man, I guess, was to be more like these women, instead of holding him accountable for his actions.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, the whole thing
the focus was
on these women instead of being on him.
Right, exactly.
Like, and the whole situation.
And like, granted, we don't know what happened behind the scenes in her life, so she probably already, you know, beat him up, crying in the room, you know, screamed, drop on the floor, did all her stuff.
Maybe.
And behind the scenes, better. But it's definitely, it definitely shows that she's got some psychological issues, because She has her own inner demons that she's been battling, because that is a lot. And it hurts me to hear that you resent your own kids. You know, she probably was even dealing with postpartum depression. Who knows how old the kids are? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like in that photo of him beside her trying to, you know, smooth over this whirlwind that he caused.
Yeah.
He even looks like a politician.
Well,
he doesn't even look genuine. The look on his face, he's holding her hand like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I look into his eyes and I say, who are you trying to convince, me or yourself?
Well, the first apology video he did before posting the one with him and his wife, the whole time he's trying to plug his book.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Wow. And like, you can tell he's definitely focused on continuing to make money mm-hmm. off of mm-hmm. this situation, good or bad, and stuff like that. And it's just so messed up. But I was going to say, like, maybe, like, I don't want to speculate, but like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, he's an attractive looking man.
He is fine.
Yeah, he's fine as hell.
He is fine.
A lot of women found him very attractive, very desirable, you know, because he's this good looking man. He's tall, he's physically fit. And on top of that, he's preaching what we want to hear. Treat your women right. Mm-hmm. Put them on a pedestal. Black women are queens. Treat them as such. Don't knock their crowns. Fix their crowns. Like, all types of uplifting, beautiful shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that low self-esteem and that paranoia stems from the fact that, like, he is a really attractive guy. Like, I want to say that he's more attractive than average. Like, I don't see Derek Jacksons walking around here every day. Like, you know?
So if you guys haven't seen him, he is a buff, tall glass of hot chocolate.
Like, he's...
A dark hot chocolate.
Yeah, I was going to say
he's... Hot cocoa.
Dark. Ooh. He's tall. You know, nice
and
skin.
Ripped.
Low cut hair. He's ripped. Like... He is literally that, like, I guess this is part of his branding,
mm-hmm.
but he tries to look like the perfect package. Like, anything that a woman want, a tall, dark skinned, strong, caring, considerate black man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he definitely, like, I guess plays off of that
for sure.
ideal or that vision.
Exactly.
But like, seeing how all of this unfolded, how he's treating certain things, how she's going off, like, they're both sick. They both need their own individual counseling.
Yeah.
And I don't know if marriage counseling can save their whole thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I can see for the wife too, like, playing the other side, that, you know, maybe she was trying to reach out to women and let them know, you know, this is my truth. This is what I went through. This is what I've, you know, done. This is what I experienced, and trying to just be honest and candid about her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see that. It's just sad that it does kind of, from what I'm hearing, it just sounds like she's being manipulated by him, or, you know, or maybe she's in a vulnerable place already, you know, for whatever reason. And it just sounds like she still has, you know, a long way to go, even though they're trying to portray that, you know, we're strong and we're good. She may wake up one day and realize, you know, or end up years from now coming out with what was really going on behind the scenes, right?
Well, I'm gonna read you a quote from Charlemagne the God. He's on The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. He's been talking about this on The Breakfast Club and on his own podcast, The Brilliant Idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's never liked Derek Jackson.
Mm.
Like, he liked him to a certain point of the whole black men don't cheat, and holding, instead of disparaging black men, at one point he was uplifting them and saying, like, you know, queens and kings, like, putting people on equal levels. But eventually, I guess with time, like, a lot of his narrative had changed to shitting on men. So this is what he says. Charlemagne explains how it was only a matter of time before Jackson was exposed. I quoted as saying, he literally shits on men. It's like a level of narcissism where he purposely doesn't try to understand where another man is coming from, as if he's never made any mistakes whatsoever. And then he mischaracterizes people as well, and does it all for the benefit of his own pocket. So what you're witnessing right now is all of that energy coming back, he says. One entity that you can't fool is God. You can't fool the universe. What you give to the universe will give back to you. The universe knows you're full of shit. The universe knows. You may fool me, you could fool the public, you could fool your wife, but the universe knows, bruh. So when you're out there saying you don't have no sympathy for men who cheat on their wives, guess what you're experiencing right now? No sympathy.
Facts.
right? So it said it also, he also found it unfair that to tell the truth about what he had been doing, he had to drag his wife to the mix and expose her to trolls online. Quoted as saying, "You should be ashamed of yourself, Derek Jackson." He said, as a video of Denia Jackson played of her responding to the criticism about everything from staying in a marriage to her appearance, which was like that crazy video I was telling you about. He's quoted as saying, "You put her in the line of fire. We all know how cruel social media can be. She had nothing to do with this. You're using her as a human shield. She wasn't there with you when you were cheating, so she shouldn't be there for the apology and the cleanup of all that. You got to hold yourself accountable."
Exactly.
So, and then he also finished by saying, "Derek gonna have to get a job after this. I don't think that there's gonna be a lane for him in it. I don't see it in. I don't see it for him. I don't see how anybody that's of sound mind can continue to listen to anything he has to say about relationships or otherwise, because the guy is a liar." Mm-hmm. As for Derek Jackson, he's remained quiet online since responding to his own confessional video with his wife, after attempting to publicly defend her and following his mistress, saying that he contacted her after that viral video. So he's after everything's been quiet since then, mm-hmm. which is probably good for him, because like, right. I will say with the internet, like when things are out of sight, they're out of mind.
Right.
The only thing that sucks for him is that like, if he does try to come back into like the
spotlight.
Digital limelight, mm-hmm, so to speak, mm-hmm. people are always gonna remember this.
Exactly.
Like the internet never forgets, unfortunately. They'll be like, "Oh, do you remember when?" Like there's times where people will be like, for example, Lady Marmalade was trending the other day because that song was released 25 years ago.
Wow.
That made me feel old as fuck.
God dang.
Or 20 years ago. Sorry.
Right.
But still, okay. That made me feel old as fuck.
That makes me feel old. Damn.
Right?
And that's another thing. Like, you're immortal now. Like, we have the gift of immortality by internet. Like,
yeah.
Anything you post, anything you say, like, this podcast, the moment we upload it, boom, we're immortalized, you know?
Right.
And anything you do can come back to haunt you.
Right.
And I have one quick question, because before we segue this into someone else who things came back to haunt her.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
But one quick question about Derek Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you, in your heart of hearts, think he's going to stop cheating?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
I think the best way for him to pivot at this point, if he wants to still use his gifts, is maybe become a fitness guru. Don't talk about relationships no more, because you're a liar. People are also going to continuously, criticize, question himself as a person, as, you know, in whatever he does at this point going forward. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, if he does go into fitness, people might be like, "Are you sure you're actually did this by working out, or did you just take steroids?" You know, like, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if people do question his motives. But I think being a health and fitness guru might be his lane to move into and back away from relationships, because you can still have your wife, you can still have your family, you can still have your mistresses.
Yeah.
People won't be focusing on your relationship if you're talking about health and fitness.
Very true.
People may question your gains.
Right.
But they're not going to question your women.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
And it also does bring up the subject of forgiveness in the media. And like I want to forgive him.
I know.
I think our black men deserve forgiveness too. I deserve to. Like, can you think of anyone who made a big blunder and, you know, was able to come back from that? You know, and I always think of Charlie Sheen when you talk about these things, because I saw this guy shot his whole ex-wife, or all these things, like, you know, he was on drugs, he was he shot his whole ex-wife, and like nothing could stop this man. He still came back and had a hit show, all this thing happened.
But I also think that's because he's white, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because like, because like, when I think of like things going wrong and forgiveness and stuff, I think of Chris Brown. When it became public that Chris Brown assaulted Rihanna, he was blackballed and pigeonholed for a very long time. And I still think he is pigeonholed to this day.
Really?
Because when they think of Chris Brown, they just think of the incident with Rihanna. Rihanna's much, I don't want to say a much bigger star, but she is a much bigger star than Chris Brown at this point.
Right.
So I honestly think Charlie Sheen got away with what he got away with because he was
for
a white
man. For sure. And that's why I bring up the subject of forgiveness of black men.
Yeah.
You know? So you know, I want us to be able to forgive them. You know, I want them to be able to also have that bounce back ability.
I think
from
so.
Our community.
I think it's possible when they when the full accountability is there. If Derrick Jackson went on video without his wife and said, like, look, I disrespected this woman, I disrespected this marriage, and I disrespected y'all by taking y'all for idiots by telling you it's one thing when it's really another. I was going through this, I was big-headed, I was full of myself, you know, and I was talking to these girls. One of these girls got pregnant. I asked her for an abortion because, like, you know, I am in a marriage and I'm working on trying to, like people won't like it, but people can respect it because it's the truth, right? Same thing with Chris Brown. Like, Chris Brown didn't say nothing about the assault. People try to bring it up to him and he obviously doesn't want to talk about it, and that's fair. But like, he's never, I don't think he's ever said, like, look, we were going through this, I was upset, I shouldn't have put my hands on this woman, I'm paying for it up to this day, and I've grown. And like, people just, people won't let him move on because he's never formally addressed and slash apologized for it. Not to say that he owes us an apology. Ultimately, he owes Rihanna the apology. But because he's a public figure, he has to address certain things publicly. You know what I'm saying?
So. Very true. So now, on the subject of having a past.
And apologies. Oh my gosh.
We are going to pass on to our first Black Bachelor.
Yes.
What was his name?
I'm going to double check. His name's Mark something. But he was definitely known as the first Black Bachelor. He was, like, because as you know, The Bachelor has been predominantly a white show with white people, and you know, it is what it is.
And your
whatever.
Token Black person or person of color sprinkled in.
They'll sprinkle a few
as one of the ladies, you know.
Yeah, they'll usually sprinkle a few, like, you know, white women or Black women and Black men, depending on if it's a bachelor or bachelorette. I can't find it right now, but I'll find it later. So what was kind of notable was the fact that, like, this bachelor, who's the first Black Bachelor, a lot of people were tuning in because of that fact. The last people, I think, was like two white women and like a Black girl, or two Black girls and a white girl. I can't remember the ratio, but it was definitely a lot of people were like, oh, go with the Black girl, Black love, da, da, da. Like, you know, Black Twitter was
two Black women and a white woman at the end. I think that's what you had told me.
I think so, but I can't remember. So don't vouch me on that. But at the end of the day, he chose this white woman named Rachel.
His name was Matt James.
Sorry, there we go. His name was Matt James. He chose a white woman named Rachel as his final pick, the final rose. And you know, he cared for her, he loved her, love is love, we're happy to see it, you know, and they went off into the sunset until the after show came out, and it was the after the rose, where he had to disclose that, like, after this episode and after I picked her, I'm sorry, but we're not together. And he disclosed the reason why is because this woman was depicted involved in racist actions, specifically going to a plantation party. And as we know, plantations historically belonged to white slave owners who would use Black slaves to, like, pick cotton and other stuff and farming and things of that nature. I don't know why this is still a theme for people in the South, but you know, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds were criticized for getting married on a plantation. Just because people are more woke to the situation. Like, that whole farmhouse look is nice, but it's also rooted in a lot of racist behavior. So, because of this and because of it coming out, Matt James chose to break it off with her. He ideally wants them to work on, you know, work on yourself, and then maybe we can reevaluate the relationship. She was very hurt, obviously, by this, but it also is what it is, because he felt uncomfortable as a Black man entertaining this, knowing that this was your life and you didn't see anything wrong with it.
For sure. And plus, with all the media scrutiny of him even picking a white woman over Black women, and you know, when he had the opportunity, and I'm sure he already kind of felt like there may be some blacklash, literally, you could just call it that. And you know, so then to come to find that, you know, so to find that out, I'm sure, you know, I could see him feeling a way about it.
Right.
And a lot of people on the flip side may feel that, like, you know, what's wrong with that if it's in their past? You know, like, a lot recently in the media, a lot of people who've done insensitive things to people of color in their past, like, you know, wearing blackface. I know in Canada, our prime minister got criticized because pictures...
He's been criticized. He's still getting criticized.
He wore blackface to a party and dressed up as, like, Aladdin or something, and his face was so brown, like... Yeah. It was a black and white photo, and he disappeared. He just had eyes, you know, pretty much.
I'm dying.
And at some party, he could dress up as Aladdin, and it's like, oh my gosh. And people criticize him to this day about that. And there's just a lot of people, like you said, like the plantation wedding and all that.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about, you know, dating someone and finding that out? Like, how would that make you feel? Like, I don't know.
Honestly, and it's funny because I was in a slight situation like that, mm-hmm. where I was dating somebody long distance. They were in the United States. They were in New York, but specifically was from Georgia. Mm. You know, we would talk all the time, yada, yada, yada. We would, you know, occasionally, we would, like, you know, talk on video chat, stuff like that. So I know he wasn't a catfish or anything like that. But one day I noticed in his room that this man had a Confederate flag hanging like a poster. And like, that just made me uncomfortable, because if people don't understand where the whole Confederacy and the Civil War came from, it was Southerners fighting for their slaves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They didn't want black people to be considered people. They wanted them to still be considered property. And mm-hmm. the North was like, we're a little better than this. Let's not do this. And so, among other reasons, but, like, right. that's one of the things that the Southerners in the Civil War did not want to give up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was the root of it. So whenever I see a Confederate flag and I see people, like, waving and celebrating it, I immediately get uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a triggering thing. Just the same way that a swastika triggers maybe someone who is Jewish or...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that flag is a trigger to people of color, right? And people right. affected by slavery, so...
Right, because it just... Well, and also it's very weird and very odd, because, like, there are white people who will hold racist views and beliefs, mm-hmm. but still be with a black person, still have children by them, and they'll use the excuse, oh, well, you're not like the rest of them. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and it's so, like, mm-hmm. I did not want to be put in that box, and that, like, mm-hmm. that I've been using the word pigeonholed all day. That's been that pigeonholed that fucking quote-unquote relationship into the ground, because seeing that just made me think instantly, like, oh, well, I'm not like the rest of them. I don't right, like that. Right. I was just like, I don't want to be categorized as not like the rest of them, because at the end of the day, I'm still black. If I have a children with you, those children are going to be black. And yeah. so, like, I don't want somebody else mistreating my children and then using the excuse, oh, well, my wife or my kid or whatever is
so
not like
true.
Them.
So
I don't like that exception, that quote-unquote exception to the rule that, like, some people go through.
Very true.
Makes me incredibly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, like, I definitely get where that Matt is coming from, and just being like, yeah, I can't do this, because a lot of, I don't want to say a lot of people, but there are some people who use that excuse. Right. Oh, you're not like right. the rest of them. Oh, you speak better than black people. Oh, you're not as black as those people. Oh, you talk like a white person. Like, those microaggressions.
Exactly.
And like back in the day, I used to kind of use those for validation of assimilation. Mm-hmm. But, like, now whenever I hear people say that, I'm like, oh, you're racist. You're just right. racist light.
Don't kill me. And another thing too, you don't want to be someone's fetish, you know?
Mm-mm.
Like, I could understand him feeling like, I don't, like, did you come on the show to win money and you just end up with a black man or whatever for a little while to try it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or for clout or whatever.
For clout, exactly, to get the media attention or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, are you on here really to find love? You know, why? Because I'm sure they knew who they were going to be the bachelorette for ahead of time, you know what
right.
I mean? So... for you to have gone to a plantation party and to decide, you know, let me just figure, I roll the dice and go here, yeah. You know, in this type of research nation that we live now. Everything is research. Like,
for sure.
They will find it. If you took a doo-doo way back when you were five, and, you know, right. They will find it, you know?
And the thing is, people using the excuse, oh, but this was 10 years ago, but this was 15 years ago. I'm sorry, but, like, we're grown now. We're in our 30s. These are stories not about girls that are in their teens. Mm-hmm. These are women and stories about people who are in their 20s, in their 30s. We, like, millennials are that generation of people who had that first access to Google, Ask Jeeves, and all of that internet stuff, Yahoo. You know?
Mm-hmm. All of these engines. Exactly.
So it's just like, we had access to information before it being just a free giveaway thing that people now, like Generation X now has.
Correct.
You know, so it's like to use that excuse, I didn't know any better. Bitch, you could have Googled it. Google's exactly. been around forever at this point.
Right, right. Very
so, true. So it's kind of like when you see certain things that are like, oh, let's go to a plantation party. If your spidey sense is like, oh, that sounds wrong. That sounds a little weird. Do a couple Google searches. Oh, that's what's implying. And if you're really not about that life, mm-hmm. you wouldn't go.
Right. And it also does beg the question of culture, because if it's just like the Southern culture is to, you know, yield their Confederate flag, that's normal to them.
Yeah.
Some of them are raised waving this flag, not knowing, you know, why we do this. We just, because they think it's their ancestors paying homage to their ancestors.
Yeah, and it's like, you're paying homage to racism.
To racists.
And so to hate.
You have to recognize that, yes, they were your ancestors, but they were also not perfect. You know, they were right. racists. So, you know, going to a plantation party may be something that's so normalized down there that this is just like us going to a baby shower when someone's pregnant. You know?
It's yeah. like, okay. Yeah, it's which is fucked. It's just,
right? So it's really messed up, but it's like, how do you deal with that? And I can understand him not wanting to stay in that, because what other crap does your family hide that I don't know about? That's part of your culture.
No, for sure. Well, and that's mm-hmm. the thing, right? Because it's like, you don't want to be that exception to the rule. Oh, you're not like those other thugs mm-hmm. we see on TV. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not like those other insert racist Comment. Stereotype.
Right.
Like we always see. And it's like, and that's why I call it racism light, because those are the same people that will say I'm not racist.
Right.
But still hold you next to certain stereotypes and be like, oh, you're not like
this stereotype,
mm-hmm. but you're also black.
Right. And it also leads me to the, like, anti-Asian hate, too, that's going on right now.
Oh, my God,
so
yeah.
So that's going to be our next topic for our next podcast, but we got to wrap this one up right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, tune into our next one. We're going to talk about the anti-Asian hate that's going on. An old woman who managed to kick some booty hole to defend herself against a racist person who was victimizing her.
Yeah.
And all of that tea, y'all. So thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely. I am your girl, Ola Miss Lola.
And I am your other girl, the Hill Diva.
Make sure you listen to us on all different streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor FM, Overcast, YouTube, and everything in between.
Amen. And don't forget to hit us up on our Instagram, which is at This Black Girl Podcast. We also have our individual Instagrams. Mine is at the Hill Diva.
And mine is at ola.miss.lola.
All right. Have a good one. Holla back.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.